Twitter writes in saying, don't forget about Little Hercules. I was thinking in terms of the parents who are ruining their kids' lives in their pursuit of sports. Little Hercules did cross my mind a little bit. That was the guy that made him do all those push-ups, right? Like, he was like basically on steroids as a little kid, right?
Yes.
I'd like to know.
He was always, like, jacked.
Yeah, that's one of those things that, like, always get, like, that's one of those sponsored content they try to get you to click on at the bottom of, like, stories you read. It's like, you'll never believe what baby Hercules looks like now. It's like a sad, like, guy.
Yeah, and they make you go through about 600 photos before then.
I don't ever actually click them. I don't know. But
yeah, I stop after a few. It's like, no, I don't want to see this.
Baby Hercules, he crossed my mind, but I was also thinking about Baby Gronk, that's that kid that they...
I forgot about Baby Gronk.
Yeah, his dad pimping him out, taking him places. That's who I thought of when we were talking about the parents ruining their kids' lives. Yeah. Yeah. All right, Sam, you got overrated, underrated? I do.
Don't get my intro mic on, though.
You got the intro ready, too? I've given you time. I was waiting. You're good. Fire it off.
Overrated. Very overrated.
It's overrated.
Overrated, my friend.
Overrated. I'm going to tell you why. I think that's a solid rated right there. It's perfect rated.
He underrated, man. He got some swag. He has some real swag.
Lobsters are underrated. They don't die.
All right. We got a little batch of overrated, underrated.
That was funny. A little batch of overrated, underrated.
You cracked yourself up there?
Yeah, I did crack myself up.
You're having a blast back there, man.
Because I didn't turn my mic on for the second time in 15 seconds.
You know, it's nice to be able to make yourself laugh. You know what I mean? Like, I crack myself up all the time. I'm like, man, you are funny. You are so funny. Why do more people not appreciate how funny you are? I find me saying that to myself all the time.
Mm-hmm. All right. Overrated, underrated. Finding yourself funny.
Very underrated. If you don't love yourself, who will? You know what I mean?
All right. I'll start it off. To start things off, overrated, underrated, MLB debuts / call-ups.
I think by and large, they're overrated. Great example. We got, Jack Leiter getting the call-up. And I don't think he's entirely burned up the minors either, you know. So, I mean, there's, you know, headlines like, former number two overall pick, Jack Leiter, all these other things. I mean, not for nothing. I just think there's a lot of pressure that gets put on the kid when that happens, too. Now, we've seen some where it works out, but I'd say most of the time it doesn't. And when I say it doesn't mean that they don't end up being a good player, but it might take a couple seasons. You know, they don't come in and make an immediate impact in their first couple of appearances, whether it's an everyday player or a starter. I'd say it's overrated.
I like seeing the videos when, like, people get caught up and they're crying. That's always cool. Like, that's up there, you know, below, don't get me wrong, below the troops coming home videos. But, like, the prospects that really care, like, in the minors. But I saw one recently with Jackson Holliday. Did you guys see that one?
Yeah.
And the Orioles tried to make it a thing. And it's like, Jackson Holliday obviously knows he's getting ready to get called up. Like, he's just like, oh, that's awesome. Thanks. Like, the manager's trying so hard to set it up, like, you've been just a great guy and blah, blah, blah. And I need you to call your dad and thank him for all the work. And then call him and say, thank you, Dad, because I'm going to the majors. And Jack's like, okay, cool. Yeah, thanks. Like, you're trying too hard. Yeah, like, this kid's like the number one prospect. It's not going to be the heartfelt moment you want it to be compared to, like, the 30-year-old that's been in the minors his whole life that's, like, been dreaming of a big league call-up. So, you know, there's layers to it, of course. So I got to go that it's a little overrated just because a lot of the people don't have a dramatic story. A lot of people aren't top prospects. They just come up for a little bit, and maybe they're like role players, or maybe they go back down. And, you know, I don't know. It is exciting, though, when you have a big-time prospect get caught up. It is, like the Reds, you know, I was kind of back at being a Reds fan last year, and you know, they had a whole bunch of call-ups, you know, to start the year last year, and that was kind of cool. So I don't know. I'll just go slightly overrated.
Okay.
But I like when they put it on video, when it actually makes me cry. when it's good.
Yeah.
That's right there at the walk-on video. Walk-on getting a scholarship.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
You've been grinding. You're exactly what this team, this culture, this program's about. You know, he's been working at Foot Locker 50 hours a week and still practicing and staying on top of his stuff. And, you know, he didn't have any money to eat because we don't have a meal plan for him. But now we got a meal plan for him. Make some noise. They're putting him on scholarship. He's like, yeah. I'm not poor anymore. Yeah.
You know, I've always thought about those. Those videos are great. And, you know, it's always cool to see the teammates' reaction. You know, everybody goes nuts and starts, you know, swarming him. So whatever. Imagine if that happened sometime where they're like, yeah, and, you know, so-and-so, and he's going a full ride now. He's got a scholarship. Everybody's like, all right. You know, there's just not much of a reaction. Like,
along those same lines, I want to know what the other walk-ons think. Can we get a shot of the other walk-ons who thought they might be the ones getting a scholarship? Like, wait. I've been working at Foot Locker too.
Yeah.
I've been having to do, you know, working in a warehouse overnight. I'm unloading ice cream trucks. I'm freezing. I want to be on scholarship too. I want to see them. There's probably, you know, there's probably a part of them are happy, like, hey, my brother, he's got his scholarship. But I was like, it could have been me.
I was going to say, I feel like maybe that week after, now that he's on scholarship, it's a little, some tensions there a little bit.
You know what they say, crabs in a bucket, man. Can't crawl out because they keep pulling you down. You know, that's how I would be as a walk-on. I'd be sabotaging. I'd be turning their alarm clocks off. My roommate's a walk-on, too. I'm unplugging his clock the way I'm ahead of him.
All right. Overrated, underrated, the Team USA basketball Olympic roster. Or just Olympics in general, I guess. Not their roster.
We need to get you to tighten up these overrated, underrated topics. You're just going off stuff we've already talked about, and you're making them up as the drums are playing. The Olympic basketball roster, Bob, is it better or worse on paper than the Dream Team of 92?
I think it's worse.
You think it's worse?
Yeah, and it's a great roster, obviously, but that might be somewhat biased just because that they were the first, you know, the
sure.
Dream Team was the first, but I'd lean towards the Dream Team over this team.
Is there a reason why, like any matchups or any?
No, actually, I would say head-to-head matchups. That'd be tough because I think about like where Bird was in his career at that point.
Yeah, I mean, Bird was cooked and Magic had already retired with the HIV, right? Like
right.
He had already said he was gone. So like both those guys are big names, but like their games.
Right.
Not very good. LeBron, you know, who's also older in his career, but LeBron right now better, a lot better than Magic and Bird were like.
Well, what I thought about when we were talking about Kawhi Leonard rounding out the roster, being the 12th player picked, I was like, you mentioned he's the right fit as a player, but also he might be the right fit as a personality just because it feels like there's a lot of there's always going to be a lot of alphas on that type of team, but a lot of peacocks on that team. I think that the Dream Team was probably more kind of locked in terms of it's all about winning and not necessarily who's going to get playing time, who's going to get touches, who's going to get all that.
I think that's probably easy to say now and even at the time. That they're all about winning because it was basically a foregone conclusion. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We talked about Team USA being minus 240 to win the gold medal. I'd imagine they were minus like 5,000 to win the gold medal back in 92 whenever there was really no other teams that could really compete. I mean, there was Sabonis and Kukoc, and like those were only kind of the international stars.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a coordination. Like, every game was a blowout. Like, they were not in danger of ever really losing.
Right.
So, like, every game was a 40-point blowout. So, of course, guys could come in and get their shots and get their minutes. And it's kind of a dunk contest, fast break thing. I think that's – the pressure was a lot different, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just like the 12th man Kawhi Leonard versus 12th man Christian Laettner. And, like, you start working back up. You're like, okay, there's going to be a lot more depth on this year's roster. So, I'll say the Olympic basketball roster is probably underrated all time. It might be the most talented roster we've ever had.
Just an anecdotal note there, and you might have seen it. Somebody, and I can't recall who it was now, but it was somebody in the media or maybe – no, actually a former player. It was Austin Rivers, and I actually like a lot of Austin's content. And he had mentioned that 12th spot, this was before they announced Kawhi, saying, why don't you put Cooper Flagg in there? It's like if you're talking about the future of the game and everything else, and this guy is supposedly a surefire first-round NBA pick. And I thought it was just an interesting take. I'm not saying that's what should happen, but it does make you think about, you know, that was a guess what they were thinking when they put Leitner in on that dream team. But I don't know. That's something to think about. Do you have to just stack it with more and more NBA players?
I get hung up on that with the dream team, too, like in terms of their greatness. They even have the best point guard in the league on the team.
Yeah.
I mean, like John Stockton, I mean, it was great, but like Isaiah was better than John Stockton, and they left him off the team for petty differences. Like they,
chemistry, man, chemistry.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. It was chemistry, not so much on the court as much as just like the vibes. Like, they just don't want to hang out with him. Like,
yeah.
He's a goofball. Like, it's, or like he's just somebody that, you know, would bring the vibes down, and, you know, I don't know. The flag part, is he the young guy that you would look at and say, hey, he is the future? I mean, I guess so. I mean, because Anthony Edwards is on the team. Ja Morant's not going to be on there for obvious reasons, injury and also just
dangerous
reputation. Yeah. I mean, he hasn't necessarily earned it.
Tough to take guns overseas.
Yeah, so like in terms of the good young Americans, like is there somebody you're looking at as the future? Maybe like Anthony Edwards, yeah, but he's already on there. So maybe Flag, it would be that guy.
Dalton Connect,
yeah. But in terms of like, yeah, big, really famous like college players over the last couple of years, there's not really anybody, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You got anything else?
Yep. Overrated, underrated, the proposed college football super league.
When I saw the breakdown, like the football. Did you see what the South region was? It seemed like we had a pretty tough draw there. When I started looking, it's like Alabama, Georgia, LSU, all these. Okay, that seems a little tough in a 10-team league. Like that seems kind of harsh. It seems foregone at this point. It's like it seems like we're going to eventually get this. I need to see the breakdown and how it goes, but it keeps enough of the SEC feel to it that it's fine with me. The South, you still play those teams, and I still want it to be smaller, though, so I'll say underrated. I'll say overrated. I want it to be like 30 teams, maybe 32, and maybe you split those up in like 16 versus 16, and then maybe you have like four subsets of those 16, like four teams each, and like you play against those teams, and like if you win that, you get like a playoff spot, and then we'll give a couple wild card spots to teams that didn't win that subset of four, you know, like six, seven teams maybe. And then you play like that section of your 16 to see who wins that one. And then you play another section of the 16 to see who wins that one. Then you play in like one big final game. Like that would be how I would probably do it.
That's a pretty unique idea.
Yeah. Like I would take that in like 32, 34 teams somewhere around there. Yeah.
Should have been writing that down.
Yeah.
That's a lot. But I think that's a. That's a fascinating conversation. We may not even have time for it today, but I would like to talk about all those regions. They talk to me. It felt more, again, more pro sports ish, you know. And there's a prospect of reuniting. I love this reuniting the what just went underwater, the Pac-12. You know, having a good majority of those teams clustered together again. Anyway, all that to say, I want. We've been seeing nothing but change in the college sports landscape. We've been talking about it ad nauseum, but it's going to keep staring us in the face. I think it's underrated just because I believe there needs to be a greater level of change that is, again, some level of just governance, pulling this stuff together. And so for me, it's more out of hopefulness, and that's why I would say it's underrated because I feel it's so necessary.
Imagine being like Oregon State. And you're like seeing this talk and you're like just holding on to some hope, like, please, please make this league. Come on, guys, get it together. That way we can be back all together. We can, like Bob said, we can get the Pac-12 back together. We can have our conglomerate over here on the West. Please, let's just do this, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
Please make this league. Come on. You know you want to.
We may even get our transfer portal guy who's going to every college in America in the next few weeks to come back.
Well, that's the torture. Like, it's 3 or 4 years down the road. So if you're Oregon State, how do you stay afloat enough to like actually be competitive when it starts back up, if it starts back up?
Exactly.
That would be torture. Clinging to that hope, thinking like somebody's coming there to save you, and you're just there in the cold water. watching the remains of the Titanic sinking, and there's some lifeboats coming, but you can't really scream to get their attention. You're just hoping they find you.
I'm over here.
I have an overrated, underrated. If you're done, Sam.
Yeah, go ahead.
We'll hit the music or the sound.
You give the topic, then he hits the music.
Okay. Overrated, underrated. Poke bowls.
What?
Poke bowls.
Poke bowls.
Poke bowls.
What the hell is that?
Oh, God. You haven't had a poke bowl?
It's like...
Is it like a stir fry
like
type of thing?
Sushi version of Chipotle, I would say.
Yes.
Where's that at? Is there one here?
Oh, there's a couple here.
It's just sushi?
Not familiar with the area right now. I don't know.
There's one in Western Plaza. There's one on Cedar Bluff.
And it's just sushi in a bowl?
That'd be my best description of it. Is that off?
Yeah,
I've only had one in my life.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I think we know the answer then to this for you guys. No, I thought it was an interesting one. It's it's kind of it can be sushi. They do chicken. They do other stuff too.
I like chicken.
Yeah, but it's like you kind of
You're doing a really bad job of explaining this, Bob. Just tell me what it is. Is it chicken and rice or chicken and...
No, actually, what Sam said is true. It's more of kind of like a stir-fry version of Chipotle or a sushi / stir-fry.
Kava, maybe, with sushi.
Okay.
Some more raw elements, for sure.
Yeah, and it's like you kind of... They make it for you on order. You stand up there, you get it.
Well, I'm just going to Google it. You've done a bad job of explaining it to me.
I'm surprised you don't really know about these, John.
Yeah,
I haven't had one. Like, I know about them. I've only had one.
Yeah, you're usually
I'm very basic when it comes to food, Bob. I eat the same four places every other day. Like, I just rotate. Although I gotta say, this new move to the new studio has messed up my lunch. Like Monday, I still went to my Jersey Mike's. I can't give it up. It was literally an hour round trip. I was like, can I really take an hour out of my day to go justify this? Because it was like. I drove there.
I don't know if that sub is good enough for an hour round trip.
I go sit. I sit there and eat. I sit there and eat.
That's fine.
And then I actually had to run into Kroger too because I had to replenish my boy Trevor out there because he brought a 12 pack of Coke in. And like one day I had like food I'd made and I had some leftovers and I was like, open the fridge. Like, oh wow, there's a soda there. I was like, I kind of want one. So I was like, whose are these? So I went and asked. Like, oh, those are mine. You can have one. And I was like, don't worry, man. I was like, I'll bring some too. I'll replenish them. And he's like, yeah, okay, sure, whatever. Like, he said okay, but like, I know in the back of his mind, he's like, this guy's just going
to
keep drinking all my Cokes and not actually bring some up.
Point.
So then, like, last week, yeah, then I had a couple more because on Friday, Friday, right? I wanted to get a little caffeine buzz going. And I got one. And I was like, you know what? I want another one. So by that point, I'd already drinking three of his Cokes. And I don't know if he was keeping track of them, but like, I couldn't risk it. And I was like, hey, I told him I'm going to bring them in. So Monday, went to Jersey Mike's. Then I had to go into Kroger. So then I'm walking through Kroger, and my God, these Cokes have gotten so damn expensive. For some reason, my dumbass did not get a buggy. I thought, like, I don't need a cart. I'll just walk through and pick up these two 12-packs. But, of course, Kroger's like, hey, we know these are so expensive, so we're going to throw you a bone here if you're a Kroger Plus member. Buy two, get one free. So I couldn't turn that down. One for $9.99 or three for $20. What would you do? So then I grabbed three. But, again, keep in mind, I don't have a buggy, so, like, I'm carrying them. And I just got them, like, stacked up in my hand. And I'm just walking through, and they're kind of like slipping and falling. I'm like, oh, man, I'm about to shake them up. But I was like, I have to get them because Trevor, who I told. So then I get back here, and I'm bringing it in, kind of like Ben Stiller in Meet the Parents when he comes back with the fake Jinxie cat. And he's walking, like, and everyone's like, yeah, he's got the cat. They're cheering for him, and he knows it's fake. But, like, he's still putting on a show, and everyone's clapping, like, yeah, you're a hero. So I go, and I poke my head into Tim, Trevor, and Lung Dart Larry's office in there, and Trevor's on the phone. So I'm sitting there kind of waiting for him to get off the phone. But then he turns around and looks at me, and he sees it. I'm just holding the Coke, and I'm like, and I'm pointing. He's like, thumbs up. Good job. You didn't lie to me. You brought it. So it took an hour. So, like, I have to find new lunches. And what I was getting at is that yesterday I'm driving, and I'm like, do I go into Turkey Creek? Do I just go to Chick-fil-A? I was like, no, that'll be another hour, and that's just 5 minutes away. I got work at the office I got to do, which, by the way, I've been putting up these TikTok videos. And I don't know if we've gotten lost in the algorithm, but I was so embarrassed. I put up one yesterday, and it literally, like an hour into it, had like 4 views. I'm like, what the hell has happened here? 4 views? They used to be getting 600-700 at least on the minimum. And I was like, am I hashtagging it wrong? Am I doing something wrong with the format? I don't think I am. I'm following all the guidelines they're saying. But I was like, 4 views? How the hell has that happened? But so I wish I just would have went and did an hour lunch or maybe just gone home and saved my time. But long story short, I went to Arby's. Arby's is added to my rotation. But I pull up to Arby's, Bob, and let me tell you, every damn combo had double digits in front of it. Every damn combo was at least $10. Like, I'm not paying $13 for a combo. And I was like, you know what? I really don't need the fries anyways. I'm trying to lose a little weight, and it's not really working. But I was like,
Arby's without the fries?
I went to Arby's without the fries because A, it was going to be $11 or $12 for a combo. Keep in mind, I have Cokes here. I just told you I have Cokes here. So I was like, I don't really need a drink. So I was like, having to do the math. Do I want to pay $6 for fries? Because that was essentially what I was going to come down to. And then I look, and it's that everyday value menu. Two for $6, a roast beef and a chicken sandwich. I said, you know what? Let's try that. You know, $6.30, $6.40 versus $13. I was like, how bad could it be? And I got to say, the chicken sandwich is actually pretty good. So that might actually be in my rotation now. I'm an Arby's man.
So Poke Bowl.
Overrated.
Well, I was just going to say, if you're looking, there's one right down on Cedar Bluff. It's like, it's literally probably 5 minutes from you. You need to try it. Just to give it a shot.
I'll give it a shot. Yeah. Because you asked, Bob, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. See if there's something there for you. I would say it's not for everyone.
I got a feeling John's not going to like it.
Yeah, based on what I just heard.
So where are these located?
Well, there's one on Cedar Bluff Drive right over there by
okay, a little bit Casey's. Out of the way. Not far, but a little bit out of the way.
No, just a straight shot down Dutchtown to okay. Cedar Bluff. And take a right, and then you're there. And then there's one up in Western Plaza. Jesus, it sounds like an advertisement.
Where is Western Plaza at?
That's up near Sequoia, that area. There's Dos Bros.
Yeah, yeah,
and some
other
stuff up there.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about now. That's where I've seen it. I was going to say, I've seen this before, but I've never been. Yeah, that's where I've seen it before.
And there may be others. I don't know. Those are the two I'm aware of. And again, I brought it up as one just to get other people's take. I'm not an enormous fan of it. I think it's okay.
What about Island Finpoke and Farragut?
Oh, it's probably same concept, but I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, maybe I'll try that one. It's in Farragut, so that's my neck of the woods. All right, Sam, send us to break. That was a long overrated, underrated.
Ever been the coach?
All right, catch me up on what actually happened in the NBA last night. So Zion went out with a hamstring injury. Hamstring makes me think he's not playing a couple days later.
Yeah.
And we had the death of the Warriors dynasty. I heard you make the joke about Klay Thompson, but he went 0 for 10?
0 for 10.
He didn't score?
31 minutes, 0 for 10. Yeah. I mean, it was rough. And I didn't see – I got full disclosure – I couldn't make it for the whole game. I went to bed beginning of the fourth quarter, but Kings were in charge at that point. It was really pretty much, you could tell it wasn't going to pan out for the Warriors. But, yeah, and I think let's start with that game just because really the milestone. I've been trying to read some reports. You know, there's some people who are trying to be maybe contrary and say, oh no, the Warriors are not, they're gonna milk this thing as long as they can. They're not gonna reset here. And they may not, but I think they need to. And I mean, Klay is part of it. I still believe that getting something that's more of a semblance of a big in place in lieu of Draymond is really the key for that team. Klay might be able to stick it out and play there, but he's clearly not the player that he used to be. He's going to have limited minutes and things like that. But that team, there's some sort of reset that has to happen in my mind. I think that's absolutely a necessity right now.
That's a really tough end of the season for him as he heads into free agency.
Yeah.
And he's trying to kind of demand some money and wants to be well paid because – if he wants to be well paid, I don't know how you bring him back to the Warriors. Like, I don't know who would give him big money, period. But, yeah, he wants – he was talking about he wanted, like, you know, big money at the beginning of the year, and it, you know, ends up coming off the bench and having some flashes, but for the most part was a shell of himself. It seems like, you know, the only reason you would keep him there is for nostalgia. If Steph just tells you, like, no, I want my boy here, figure it out.
Yeah.
And if you're Steph, like, I want to get inside his head. I want honest answers from him on what he wants moving forward.
He said after the game he just wants to win.
Okay. But does he want to win in Golden State? Like, is that, like, Is he going to do the Dame Lillard thing of like, hey, I'm not leaving this city. Like, I love the city. I'm all about Golden State. And, of course, you know, comparing him to Dame Lillard is offensive because Steph's actually won things. But the point was, like, does Steph Curry want to win? Is that all he cares about? A pursuit of a fifth championship? Does he want to try to catch Jordan and get six? Or does he just want to win in Golden State and, like, keep that legacy intact? Because I'm not so sure the answer – I'm not sure that both things can happen anymore. Meaning that I don't think he can win while staying in Golden State. Which is crazy to say about an organization that's won four championships. But it does feel like it's ran its course. And like these young guys haven't hit gold with like the way they thought they were going to with this young core.
No, I think I'd agree. I think Kuminga is starting to show signs.
Sure.
I think he's legit and he just needs to continue to get more reps. But
yeah, but like go back to when they had the number two pick overall. Like, and you're like, wow, we're about to add like an elite talent to go with this core, and they struck out with James Wiseman. So like,
exactly
ending up with Kuminga, yeah, he's solid, but like that's not unique to have like a dynasty going then to find like a young player to add in. But like having the number two pick, and if you could have added like an actual difference maker, an actual like star, that's when it's different. Like when you're the I don't know. I was going to say, like, when you're the Spurs and you find Kawhi. Now, they found him at number 14. But, like, whenever you were able to kind of connect those dynasties between the Duncan, Parker, Ginobili, and then you find a Kawhi Leonard. But, like, that's the type of talent you're supposed to get at number two. And instead they got a guy that couldn't play. They basically gave away.
I mean, I guess everybody kind of – I don't want to say slept on Halliburton, but he went in that same draft, right?
Yeah.
Like 10 or whatever to Sacramento.
Yeah,
or,
he was there.
Yeah, I mean, and Bob Myers talks about that. Like, that was a major miss for us, overlooking him and going with Wiseman.
The COVID draft just ruined a lot of things. Like, it ruined the entire Titans roster and organization, not being able to, like, actually, like, vet people and, like, have normal things. And I can't help but think that, like, in a normal season, James Wiseman would not have gone number two.
Yeah.
But, like, we didn't even really care that, like, he was going to miss the whole college basketball season. And then, like, the in-person stuff. Like, I can't imagine that if you actually get to work him out, like, in full, like, workouts, like they usually do with 5-on-5 and everything, that you would still come out thinking he was the second best player. Like, I just can't buy that.
I was trying to think back. Probably the worst thing that could have happened was what happened at Memphis. He did only play a handful of games, right?
Played three, I think.
And he was impressive, and so then everybody kind of drafted off of that and felt like, okay, this guy's, you know, there was arguments why he wouldn't be the number one pick, you know, initially, but, you know, him going two was definitely an oversight.
That draft in general has got a lot of misses. I don't know, does the 2020 NFL draft hold up to, like, other franchises? Because I know, like, it messed up the Titans, but, like, look up the 2020 draft while you're at it.
It's bad.
I want to say, like, it's terrible everywhere, right?
Yeah, it ruined sports, like, all throughout the board. I think you're completely correct.
But, like, just, like, going through the top 10 here, like, listen to this top 10. Anthony Edwards, stud. Okay. James Wiseman, sucks. LaMelo Ball, okay, LaMelo's fine. Patrick Williams, not very – I mean, he's fine.
He can't – yeah, but to that point, this is the problem I see with the NBA. You know, he was averaging at Florida State like 7 or 8 points a game.
Yeah.
And he gets the number four pick.
Isaac Okoro, that stunk in Cleveland.
Yep.
Onyeka Okongwu, he's fine with Atlanta. He's a backup big. Killian Hayes, number seven, sucks. Obi Toppin, not very good. Denny Advia, he was okay this year, but he sucked for the rest of his career. Jalen Smith, like, he was out of the league basically immediately in Phoenix. Like, he was a number 10 pick, and like, we're good. We don't really need you. Devin Vassell, Halliburton at 12. Like, I mean, like, that, you finally got to, like, an actual good player or great player, like a difference maker. Like, could he have gone all the way at number two? Probably should have. Would he have done that if he got in there and got to do the 5-on-5 workouts? I don't know. But, like, of those 12 picks, like, two guys can even really, like, play at a high level. Okongwu is a good backup. You got the NFL first round?
Yeah.
What do you got there?
Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson.
Like, Zach Wilson go number two. Like,
Trey Lance number three.
Yeah, like, that seems crazy. And Trey Lance kind of feels like James Wiseman. Like, hey, didn't really play that year, but we're not going to hold it against you. And, you know, we're going to draft you. Number three, that's terrible. Zach Wilson and Trey Lance are terrible. Keep going.
Pitts at four. That one, you know, for a top four pick, I would say hasn't panned out yet.
That's a bust so far, and you could argue it's not his fault, and okay, that's fine, but like,
you not can't working
say,
so far.
You can't say he's worth it so far.
Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, Penei Sewell, J.C. Horn, Pat Surtain.
Good run there.
Smith, that's good. Devontae Smith. Yeah, you got a good run there.
You got studs there, but look at the guys that came behind, though. Like, that's like those guys shouldn't be started to get number five. Like
Justin Fields, Micah Parsons, Rashawn Slater.
Well, the 2020 draft in the NFL has got a lot of talent. I got questions at the very top of it.
Well, then you get into the later first round. Imagine being the 49ers
and you traded assets to go up to number three to get Trey Lance and miss out on all that elite talent there.
Yeah.
The back end of the first round is really where it's bad. You've got, you know, Mac Jones, Zaven Collins, Alex Leatherwood, Jamin Davis, linebacker who just never panned out, Kadarius Toney, Caleb Farley for the Titans.
Ugh, Kadarius Toney in the first round. Ugh.
Rashad Bateman for the Ravens. Yeah, Peyton Turner, Eric Stokes, Greg Rousseau.
Bunch of losers, it sounds like.
It's not a strong draft.
Quite the run there, though, at the beginning of the –
Yeah, no. The 5 through 10 did
5 through 10, yeah. That's some studs there.
One more thing on the 2020 NBA draft. I was just looking at the last pick of the first round. Not that they needed it, but the Celtics drafted – I didn't know this. They drafted Desmond Bane and then traded him to Memphis.
Yep. And I want to say that – I want to say, like, you knew it was Memphis's pick as they were making it. Like, they'd already traded, but, like, they have to do, like, the weird – which is weird to me that they have to still take the picture with the Boston stuff, and even though you know the trade's agreed upon and still get credit for that. But, like, the Warriors, to me, like, that was the point. It's like, they had a chance at number two to, like, really extend Steph's dynasty. And they got a championship in 2021, so like, or I guess 2022, so it's not all lost, of course. Like, they got another title. But, like, now it's dead. Now it's over.
I mean, you look at, you know, we talked about Draymond. Andrew Wiggins, I think, could go.
Andrew Wiggins should go. Like, yeah. I mean, he's whatever's going on in his personal life has kind of tanked him. But, like, you thought maybe he unlocked it in the 2022 finals whenever he actually decided to rebound and play, like, good basketball. But since then, he's been a disappointment.
Yeah. Trayce Jackson-Davis only played 10 minutes last night. They've been hyping him. And he has played some good games, but I don't know what happened last night. He wasn't even in foul trouble, so I don't know if he got hurt or what, but he only played 10 minutes. I didn't even catch that. It just feels like a lot of pieces and parts. I mean, how much longer, how much tread is on the tires for Chris Paul? You know, that team's got a lot of tough decisions to make, I think.
Well, that's why I want to get inside Steph Curry's head.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's easy to say I just want to win.
Yeah.
A lot of people say they just want to win and don't do anything about it. That's where I made the Dame Lillard comparison, because he kept talking about all I care about is winning, all I care about is winning. Well, then tell Portland to trade you like 7 years ago. Like, it was clear that you weren't going to win in Portland. Like, as you know, you made the conference finals in what, 2018, 2019, whatever. But like, you got swept. That was the best chance you had, and you were nowhere close to actually like winning. So like, If you're really about winning, burn up your legacy, say trade me. I actually have respect for players that say, hey, I want to win, trade me. I don't want to be here. Can't win here. I know it sucks to request a trade, but like at least those guys seem like they actually care about winning. So if Steph says, hey, all I care about is winning, do something about it. Go somewhere. Ask the office. Ask the front office, like, hey, let's move on. Let's break up. Send me to a contender.
Over to Sacramento, obviously Fox and Sabonis, as usual, they delivered. Keegan Murray gets 32 points. If Keegan Murray's scoring at that level, that's a different kind of team. He's not going to get 30 every night, but if he's, you know, if he's good for 20.
I hate Keegan Murray so much. He has cost me so much money over the years on his same game parlays or his props. I bet on him to hit threes. He don't hit threes. I bet him to score. He don't score. And then he'll come out with a 32-point game, and I fall back into the cycle.
Well, it'll be interesting. Their next game is it's an elimination game against New Orleans on Friday, and then quick segue to New Orleans and Lakers. That was the game. I mean, it was really exciting. Lakers got out big. I think they were up 18 at one point, but then New Orleans got on a run, and they never took the lead. They tied it, I think, once or twice. But and Zion was amazing. But as Sam said at the beginning of the show, it just kind of it was just a microcosm of his career, you know, just showing amazing talent and skill, and then all of a sudden pulls up lame. And it's kind of a shame, actually. Lakers, the usual guys. I mean, they did what they needed to do. Obviously, LeBron almost a triple-double. AD played great. D'Lo hit the dagger, though. It was a one-point game with about 50 seconds to go, and he hit a three at the end of the shot clock in front of the New Orleans bench, you know, and, of course, turned around and, like,
did do his little ice.
Yeah, he started nodding his head and saying a lot of stuff.
He's played good.
Yeah.
He's
played good. Like, since the trade deadline, like, you know, and basically, like, whenever he realized, hey, whenever his name started getting floated out, like, 2 or 3 weeks before the trade deadline, I'm like, hey, we're going to send you to Atlanta, or we're going to trade for DeJounte Murray. But from that point on, like, he started balling out. He's like, please don't send me to Atlanta. I want to stay in L.A. I love L.A. Come on, LeBron. I'll hit shots. I promise. Don't get rid of me.
You know, the big thing, it came down to free throws at the end. That's the only way New Orleans could stay in it. And the Lakers were just ice, man. 10 of 10 for LeBron, 8 of 10 for AD, 4 of 4 for Reeves. These were all guys getting fouled at the end of the game. They just took care of business.
Was the conversation on the internet last night about the Lakers' free throw discrepancy? Because that's something that jumped out to me in the box score was that both AD and LeBron shot 10 free throws?
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I think it's probably a fair argument.
The broadcast talked about it a lot.
Yes, they did. They talked about a lot of things. It was really a great game. I don't know if New Orleans will have enough gas in the tank to beat Sacramento, though, if they don't have Zion.
Well, if you enjoyed Lakers Pelicans last night, I got a treat for you. 9:30 ESPN, Hawks Bulls.
That is rough, man.
Let's go.
I don't know if I can watch that, a minute of that. That'll be tough.
Heat Sixers tonight at 7. What about that one?
I'll be watching. I think that's going to be a fun game.
Sixers 5.5-point favorites.
Yeah.
You leaning one way there on the spread?
5.5?
5.5.
I don't know, man. You've swayed me a little talking about the Sixers. There's a lot of love for them right now that they're going to roll tonight is what it felt like, and that they could be a threat beyond this.
Playoff Jimmy, though.
Yeah.
Playoff Jimmy. The Heat just don't seem to have it this year, but I thought they sucked last year, and they ended up going back to the finals as an 8 seed. So, like, man, maybe there's something to it. I don't know. They took advantage of a little bit of Giannis being banged up last year, but I don't know.
Yeah, a little intangible. I didn't realize Gabe Vincent's back for the Lakers,
mm-hmm.
and he's just kind of steady and gets stuff done, scored some key buckets.
We'll do some more series stuff, you know, on Friday.
Yeah.
But the early number has been posted. Denver minus 335 in that series against the Lakers. You can get the Lakers at plus 270. So not a lot of respect there for the Lakers' chances to beat Denver.
What do you think?
I mean, I think that I don't think it's going to be a sweep this year.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a sweep this year. I do not think Denver is as good this year as they were last year. I think losing Bruce Brown is a big loss for them because I thought he played really well for them in the playoffs, like, and he's not there. They've had to try to piece it together with some young guys. Those guys have had moments, but like, I think the playoffs will be a little bit different. But, I mean, Denver's going to win the series, but I think the Lakers maybe get 2 games, Denver in 6. Kind of feels right, maybe. But I could also see Denver winning in 4 or 5. Like, I would be shocked if the Lakers beat them in a series.
We didn't even talk about this, but you reminded me of it, talking about Denver and Colorado. And have you seen the latest info on Jonte Porter?
No, I haven't.
Jonte Porter owned and operated a VIP account at FanDuel in Colorado that wagered millions of dollars in total from 2021 to 2023. He allegedly placed over 1,000 wagers at the sports book.
Oh. Oh, no, they got him.
He was firing all the time, is what a source said. Like, that is not good, man. He's cooked, man. His NBA days are gone.
So he was a VIP at FanDuel and was just betting on under his name. Was he in the NBA at the time whenever he was doing that? Like,
I think he was on the Nuggets for a little while with his brother, I thought.
Was he?
A fringe player, obviously. Yeah. But,
I don't know if this is true, but I want to say he started this without being in the NBA.
How do you have millions of dollars to gamble then?
Brother, maybe?
Maybe his brother. Or he's just a sharp.
That's a hell of a sharp.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. It's just whatever the case, we don't know what he was betting on, et cetera, but there's clearly a pattern, right? That's what they're pointing to.
Yeah, I need to read that story. All right, last call on the other side. We'll get you through your 10 o'clock hour, or get you to the 10 o'clock hour, I guess I should say. Stick with us.
at Knoxville Smile.
I like this quote that I saw about, we're talking about the Warriors, this last thing there. Summed it up pretty well after the game, Charles Barkley. I'm talking about Klay Thompson. Sports ain't for old people,
he says. I saw that. That was awesome. He's right. I was thinking about that. Reading
that
after.
Went three for 15 last night. Yeah. Shots.
I was going to say, every time I go and play basketball, I'm reminded it's a young guy's game, man. It really is.
Sports ain't for old people. A little baseball stuff. All right, anything happened last night of note? Tennessee takes down Bellarmine. I see that Blake Burke extended his hit streak to 27 games. According to Rick Butler, that ties Condridge Holloway's 49-year-old program record that was set back in 1975.
Yeah.
Anything else from baseball like stand out? I mean, that was one of those I assume you just beat the hell out of them. And
Rhys Chapman show. Two home runs, three RBIs. Had a SportsCenter top 10 play in right field. It's like, man, there's a, again, same thing we've talked about, like when we were talking about football with receivers, there's a lot of outfielders on that team, man. Dreiling, Ensley, Tears. I mean.
It does seem, you know, maybe baseball is immune to the transfer portal woes just because the money's not as much. Now, I know you still have guys transfer around, but, like, at least at Tennessee, you've been able to kind of keep your depth and, like, just have guys wait their turn. Like, both Dreiling and Tears.
Yeah,
we're on that team last year and you know, not really playing enough. I thought both those guys maybe deserve more at-bats, especially with the way Tennessee hit at times last year. Like, I thought both those guys could have came in and maybe given you some real pop, and I wonder if Tony in his mind's like, maybe should have given Dreiling a couple more looks there, or maybe he's like, hey, it took him this long to get ready. But, like, you know, you go back to Lipscomb and you go back to, you know, and you look at those two we just talked about with Dreiling and Tears, and it does seem like if you wait your turn at Tennessee, you will eventually be good, and it's worth it. And baseball is maybe the last kind of pure, quote-unquote, college sport that isn't just going to be, you know, ransacked every year with all your depth guys leaving.
Tony talked about that in the post game last night.
Did he?
He specifically mentioned Lipscomb about, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and he was
referring. He waited for, what, 3 years, I mean, to get his chance?
And he was referring to Chapman because of the game Chapman had, and he was like, hey, man, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but he was like, this guy is a player, and, you know, he's – I appreciate what he brings to the team, you know, as a student athlete and, you know, just a guy who's great in the locker room, but he proves, like, in nights like tonight, like, he can play and play at a high level and he can be successful.
What year is he?
I'm sorry, who?
Chapman.
Chapman. I think he's a redshirt sophomore, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, he specifically mentioned Lipscomb, so that was a good comparison. I mean, you know, so, but, you know, it was one of those games, too. You talk about Blake Burke. He had a home run, four RBIs. The team, in general, had six home runs.
Nice little stat patter.
Exactly. Who was it? Charlie Taylor? Is that he hit a home run.
Chucky Bags.
Yeah, and they were saying that they loved that. You know, the team was just so excited for him to hit one out.
That officially moves him past Cannon Peebles in terms of our best-hitting catchers at this point.
Yeah.
I don't think that's been a
– He's moved into number two.
I think he's probably been number one for a little while, honestly.
Used a mishmash.
Charlie Taylor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cannon has not had the greatest
season.
Well,
I know,
so
but like the Stark, I thought, like, I mean, the Stark, I thought had been hitting, you know, pretty good.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I was not. I wasn't paying
attention.
You're
zoned out the last segment. It's fine. I get it. But yeah, I was like, I haven't seen Charlie get to do anything. I mean, I just remember treating him like a make-a-wish kid whenever Evan Russell had to sit out a couple years ago, and like the crowd's just willing him to get on base, and like he gets like a little infield single and everyone's losing their minds. Like,
he was electric in the postseason.
Yeah, whenever you just told me he was our best hitting catcher, I had to, you know, double and triple take. Like, are you sure? Are you listening? I'm not talking about Cal Stark. Because, yeah, no, Stark's been your best hitting catcher for sure this year, because I saw Peebles batting 071 in conference play. Oh, yeah. That's the guy we thought was going to come here and be, you know, a heart of the lineup type of guy, like fifth or sixth to the, you know, batting at least, and you know, giving you some real pop, and it just hasn't worked for him. You had some Masters numbers on the way out, Bob.
Wrapping up baseball. Next up, Kentucky. Obviously, we'll be talking a lot about that, particularly on Friday. That's a big, big series. Masters ratings came in. You know, day one and two viewership on ESPN was great, the best since 2018. But then the rest of the coverage, specifically that final round, viewership was down. Final round viewership totals down 20% from last year. 20%, that's a huge number.
Who was last year? Who was in the mix last year?
Rahm and Brooks. Right? Okay. And it was also Easter Sunday, which probably padded the numbers a little bit because they think more people are at home, maybe have the TV on. But it does beg the question, and it's getting asked, is this – domination by Scottie Scheffler becoming a bit of a TV coverage problem. There wasn't that much drama on Sunday.
Is Scottie Scheffler golf problem?
Yeah. I don't know. Love him. He's obviously very talented, but he's not, we've talked about this, not the most dynamic player. You know what I mean? He's kind of an ice man. So
the guys chasing him. I mean, like, I know Morikawa is not very, you know, he's kind of boring too. I like watching him play, but like, he's not necessarily a personality. But people love Max Homa, right? Like, I mean, is he not enough to actually get eyeballs on the TV, though? I guess not if you look at the viewership of the match he was in.
Yeah, I think for golf casuals, they probably don't even know who Max is, right? Yeah. So,
I feel like also part of this drop is that, like, the tournament was kind of over on, like, the 12th hole.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what
I'm saying. I mean, it was a four-way tie, though, like, at the, you know, the 7th, 8th hole, right? Like, I mean, everyone was at minus 6, I think, at
I'm saying by the last... No, 3 hours, like 2 hours of the broadcast.
But when you tell me the covers, though, like, I mean, that's the entire round, though, right? I mean, like, it's not just the peak at the end. I mean, I understand what you're saying, Sam. Like, if it's close on, like, the 13th or 14th hole, more people will tune in and, like, watch. I get that.
That number was an average, but you're right. It's you know, it was probably heavier at the beginning and started to thin out towards the end.
I was going to say, there's drama even into the, you know, the 8th hole. I mean, it was tied, but, I mean, yeah, like, he did. You know, eventually start taking over.
I think if somebody like, if there's kind of a, you know, a Bryson DeChambeau or a Koepka or somebody in that mix at the end, that changes the complexion of it. You're a little more fascinated. I wouldn't call them heels, but they're
personalities.
They're personalities for sure.
The G.I. Jake Show coming up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio. Great show by you today, Bob. Sam, you got a little loose there at the end. You got a little distracted over there. I give you a B-.
I forgot to post hour two. That was
really okay. Funny. You're down to a C-, because I just remembered how bad your overrated, underrated topics were too. Try again tomorrow.
Looking for a luxury RV getaway? Then come see Two Rivers Landing RV Resort. Just imagine a personal oasis on the French Broad River with outstanding amenities just minutes from the Great Smoky Mountains. Enjoy the quiet, private setting on sites offering unexpected beauty and tranquility. Unplug from everyday life and plug in to the serenity of life on the river, big mountain skies, and bucket list sunsets at Two Rivers Landing RV Resort. Serenity in the heart of it all. Visit tworiversrvresort.com.
At Wholesale Supply, we're more than just a plumbing, electrical, and HVAC supplier. We're your partners in success. Join our family of customers today and experience the benefits of partnering with us. Enjoy free local delivery so you can focus on what you do best, getting the job done. With wholesale pricing, you'll save big on every purchase. Plus, our fast, friendly support team is here to assist you every step of the way. Our vast selection from top manufacturers ensures you'll find everything you need all under one roof. To find a location near you, visit wholesalesupply.us for more. And remember, Wholesale Supply, open to the public.
From high school heroes to college legends, First Bank is proud to champion our local athletes. But we don't just back you on the field or on the court. We team up with customers to score the wins that grow communities. That takes better products, more accessible, flexible bankers, and the